Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online, and we would love to hear from you right now. The lines are wide open. We invite your call now to 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. Let's talk about it on this edition of Basic Gospel. Here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to be talking about giving and how it really is an outflow of worship. And that's how God wants it to be. He doesn't want it to be an obligation. He doesn't want it to be, a requirement. He wants it to just flow out of this worship that we have for the one true God, recognizing that everything we have is really a gift from His hand to ours, and that we can recognize that by giving of our resources. And then and only then does it become real joy. Before we get into that, I want to say a couple of things. First and foremost, we have a special anniversary that's happening in our offices this week. Billy Russell and Billy Rayburn celebrated their 50th, the golden anniversary, last weekend. So yes. I wanted to make mention of that. Billy, as you know, is been with us for a long time. She's the one that most of you talk to when you call. She is such a delight, such a loving lady, loves interacting with our listener base on phone. And today we're going to ask you to call her to request a item that we want you to have.
Really
so
good reason. That's
get
right.
Prepared to call Billy. And if you do, give her a happy and warm golden anniversary greeting.
Yeah.
That's quite the milestone. We also celebrated my son Coleman's 22nd birthday this week,
yeah.
And that was a lot of fun for me as a dad. He's a son that makes you proud.
Yeah.
And
we love working with him.
Yes, love him and just love the man that he is. He's independent. He thinks on his own feet. He comes to his own conclusions. And you got to love that about a person, and I certainly love that about Coleman.
He's sitting in the corner right now blushing.
So happy birthday to him. We also, today, Bob, you and I were at a funeral for our longtime friend, Gilbert Massey.
Right.
And Gilbert, we've known for a long time, and when he and his wife Joyce heard the message a number of years ago about the fact that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not counting men's sins against them. That was a message that touched their hearts and changed their lives forever. Well, I mention him today because he's a veteran, and the funeral was a military funeral. It had the Patriots Club, a veterans club there to honor him. It was quite a moving experience.
Sure.
And We just loved Gilbert and Joyce and just loved the fact that God reached down and saved him by grace. And so it was a real celebration of life. But it was just a reminder of the importance of reaching out to veterans, which we launched that project last week. And thank you to so many who have given to send out packages of hope to veterans, because they have lots of spiritual questions.
Yes, indeed.
And only the gospel can really give a solid, life-changing answer. That's why we wanted to put these packages in veterans' hands. We've sent out quite a number. So thank you for that. And, I say all this in honor of Gilbert Massey today,
yes.
our good friend and brother in Christ who is absent from the body and present with the Lord.
Well said, Bob. We all love the general.
Yes, indeed. Well, we want to get back to our topic, and that's worship and how worship relates to money. And in Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 6, we see Paul's, talk about money and the love of money. And he says very clearly that the love of money is the root of all evil. So, Richard, when he talks about the love of money, he really is talking about this idea of worship, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Isn't he?
Yeah, what a person who is that much in love with money has done is substituted money for Jesus, and now they're in idolatry because they're worshiping the money and everything that it brings them rather than worshiping Jesus and what he brings.
Right. So those who want to get rich, Paul writes, fall into temptation and a trap, into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. That's where the love of money leads. And isn't that exactly Satan's goal for everybody?
Absolutely.
He came to steal, to kill and destroy. One of the methods he does that is try to attach our hearts to money. So it really is a worship thing. So if we understand that, you know, money is off the table as far as an item to worship, then how do we handle money? And that's really what we want to talk about today. How does a heart that worships God handle money? And it's more than just giving, isn't it? I mean, we have to have kind of a Christian perspective, a godly perspective, a Jesus perspective on how to steward the money that has been placed into our hands. So every decision really is a stewardship decision. Even our giving, that becomes a stewardship decision. So when we talk about giving, we talk about it in light of that whole picture. So it's, you know, it's not just about giving. You need to give your money. It's about how you use your money in every area of life.
Yes.
And the next thing we want to talk about is, you know, when it comes to money, and I think most believers, because God lives in them and God so loved that he gave. So one of the characteristics of God is that he's a giver.
Yes.
He loved us so much that he gave his only begotten son. Well, this God has now come to live inside of us. And so he is going to work in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. Well, if one of his good pleasures was to give of his only begotten son so that we could be saved, he's going to be working that into our hearts.
Yes.
So there's something brewing inside of every believer that says, give. And that's the work of God's Spirit inside of us. And you have to step back and say, wow, that's amazing. God's doing something inside of me. So how do we give? If there's this desire, this impulse, this spiritual impulse to give, how do we do it? Well, most people kind of fit themselves into kind of the Old Testament pattern of saying, well, I have to give 10%. That's the requirement. That's the entry point. That's the only place where God is going to be pleased. If I don't give that, then I'm just, you know, out of whack. As far as God is concerned, he may be disappointed with me. I may get all kinds of curses in my life, financial reversals, a loved one may die, if I don't fit into that pattern of Old Testament giving. Well, we're not in the Old Covenant. We're in the New Covenant. So we have to learn what it means to be New Covenant givers. So in that vein, I think it's important for us to compare and contrast Old Covenant with New Covenant. So we see in Leviticus, I think chapter 27, starting in verse 30 of Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30, we see some very clear words that God has for the people of Israel concerning the tithe. And
yes.
Richard, what does Moses write in that particular passage?
Well, let me read the passage. It's 30 through 33. A tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. Whoever would redeem any of their tithe must add a fifth of the value to it. This statement means that if you were truly on hard times and didn't have enough food to eat, you could redeem the food that you would have given, but you have to add 20%. Okay, so that's what that sentence was about. Every tithe of the herd and flock, every tenth animal that passes under the shepherd's rod, will be holy to the Lord. No one may pick out the good from the bad or make any substitution. If anyone does make a substitution, both the animal and its substitute become holy and cannot be redeemed. So there's this very important definition here. What were they tithing? They were tithing grain from the soil and fruit from the trees, and they were tithing every tenth animal from their herds and flocks. There's no mention here of money except as a redemption issue.
Right.
A way to deal with particular hardship. it's interesting that so many of people believe that, that tithe is only about money. And under the old covenant, tithe was not at all about money. Tithe was about supporting the Levitical priesthood, and to support them, you had to have grains from the soil, fruit from the trees, and flocks and herds, animals given to that tribe.
Yeah.
It's a very practical thing.
Yeah. So how did he conclude that passage? You know,
these are the commands the Lord gave Moses at Mount Sinai for the Israelites.
Okay. So this was a command.
Absolutely.
So this wasn't, you know, hey, I think it would be a great idea if you did these things. That would be very helpful, very beneficial. He didn't say it in those terms.
No.
This wasn't a suggestion. This wasn't just something to think about. This was a command.
Yes.
This was a requirement. And so there was punishment if tithe wasn't brought to the storehouse.
Yes.
So we need to lay that out. So here in America, we're taxed on all sorts of things.
Yes.
And it's not very fun to pay those taxes, but it's an obligation, isn't it?
Yes.
And it's commanded by the law that we do those things. So we have to adhere to it. So that's the way it was in the Old Covenant. And I think that's a very important distinction for us to grab hold of in this discussion about New Covenant giving.
Yes.
We're not under that law that says bring, you know, the tenth animal into the storehouse, or grain or fruit or those sort of things. We're not under that covenant.
Correct.
We're under a new covenant that Jesus Christ ushered in through his shed blood on the cross.
Well, you know, we still get that question so many times. It's a really hot topic for many of our listeners. What do I do about the tithe? And, of course, that's what we're addressing today, and we have done it very well, I think, in a little booklet called Giving, the New Covenant Way. In this little booklet, it covers a surprising number of topics that really will clear things up for us. Things like where to give, the attitudes of giving. It talks about the interaction between Abraham and Melchizedek. And it's just a wonderful little booklet, and it will give you the answers you're looking for insofar as where to give and how to give and all of those things. Giving the New Covenant Way, and you can get a copy of it free right now by calling Billy at 844-412-2742. Again, 844-412-2742. And again, as Bob Christopher said at the top of the broadcast, just wish Billy and Russell a very happy anniversary. 50 years of marriage.
That's right.
That's a wonderful milepost.
It is a milepost. And, you know, many in the church that they're attending or did a nice celebration and, you know, wanted to ask them questions about how they made it and that long, and when you see a couple that's made it 50 years, that's a real testimony to the power of Christ in their lives. And so we're just certainly proud of them and so glad for them that they're experiencing this. But Giving the New Covenant Way, available to anyone free of charge by calling, and just by calling. This is the only way to get it, 844-412-2742.
Well, 844- go ahead.
412-2742.
Well, this is Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Piper. I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you. We're glad you've joined us. And we have time on the clock, and we have open lines. We want you to be a part of the discussion, part of the conversation at 844-322-2742. Different from the number Bob and I just gave a few moments ago to get the booklet. The booklet number, 844-412-2742. And if you want to call right now, 844-322-2742. And now that everybody's confused, We'll move along.
Now, Richard, you talked about something just a minute ago, the fact that when the 11 tribes, the groups brought in these tithes and their food substances, basically, and they were given to a storehouse, they were brought to a storehouse where things are stored or laid up for future use.
Yes.
Well, some of those were going to be used in the worship and the religious ceremonies that the people of Israel were involved with, but most of it was to be used by the Levites for their livelihood.
Yeah, their support.
Yeah,
that's all they had.
Yeah, in Numbers 18:20-21, and also in 25 and 26 of that same chapter, we see how God has set the Levites apart to serve the Lord and to serve him only. And he said, the Lord said to Aaron, you will have no inheritance in the land. So they didn't have a portion of the land.
Correct.
They just had these special little cities set up for them. And then they had quarters around the temple and all of those sort of things. He said, nor will you have any share among them. I am your share and your inheritance among the Israelites. I give the Levites all the tithes in Israel as their inheritance in return for the work they do while serving at the tent of meeting.
Yes.
So this tithe was to be given to them in return for the work. So it's kind of their pay, wasn't it?
Well, yeah. God wanted them not to be concerned with the everyday turn the crank, make a living kind of things that the rest of us are concerned with. He wanted them, all of their ranks, all of the work that was done, he wanted them 100% devoted to him. And in return for that, the other 11 tribes supported them. So they never had to worry about food. They never had to worry about housing. They never had to worry about paying bills. It was all covered. It's a beautiful system, actually, and it's too bad that we've wreaked havoc on it.
Yes, indeed. So that was Old Covenant. Mm-hmm. Well, that was the main tithe, but they had a couple of others,
yeah.
The festive tithe and the poor tithe. And we read about those in Deuteronomy 12 and Deuteronomy 14. But then, again, these were requirements,
yes.
And they served different purposes. Mm-hmm. One was to be given every year, one was to be given every third year. And so when you add all that up, you're looking at 23%.
Yeah.
So the number grows, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
But that, again, it's all under obligation. It's a command. It's a law, a requirement. Now, there's a lot of people that will argue that tithing is still, you know, we're required to do this 10% because it preceded the law. It preceded the giving of the Ten Commandments and these other commandments that God gave to Moses at Mount Sinai. So, for example, Genesis 14 records where Abraham gave a 10% of his spoils to Melchizedek. So how do we answer that? And there's even another passage where Jacob is said to have given 10%.
Well, at least he promised it.
Yes.
Being Jacob, he probably never gave it.
So those things precede the law. So what does that tell us? What is the Word of God trying to teach us in those two stories?
Well, with Abraham, certainly, this wasn't anything that belonged to him to start with. It's the spoils of the battle that he and his people won when he rescued Lot and the kings from Sodom and Gomorrah and all the people. So this wasn't something that belonged to him in the first place. He was acknowledging that God gave him this victory. I mean, he was fighting five kings, for crying out loud, and he took a few hundred people with him out of his own household, and God gives him this incredible victory. So he comes back and he meets Melchizedek, the king of Salem, who is a priest of the Most High God, and he says, what else can I do but give this 10% to you as thanks for what God has done for me, and the rest of it I'm not taking home. The other 90% goes back with the people to whom it belongs. And so it shows that in effect it was a tax. He was doing it in worship to God, but it was still a tax. And we know that it's a tax because God told Israel later on, remember, if you get a king, they're going to tax you. They're going to demand a tithe of you. And so it's just a common expression, a common way of dealing with certain things. It's just that Abraham, the man of faith, understood where the victory came from. He gave glory to God, handed 10% to Melchizedek, and told the kings from Sodom and Gomorrah, don't give me a penny. I don't want you to say anything about you enriching Abraham. This is God's business.
Absolutely.
And these things are covered in this little booklet called Giving the New Covenant Way. We want you to have a copy of it. It's absolutely free. All you need to do is pick up the phone and dial Billy right now at 844-412-2742. Again, 844-412-2742. Just tell her you'd like the little booklet on giving the new covenant way.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Well, that brings us right back to the fact that the writer of Hebrews takes this story and really infuses the proper meaning
yes.
of why that story was actually recorded in Genesis to begin with. Mm-hmm. And it really hinges on Melchizedek, doesn't it?
Yes.
So he's really the main character. And the writer of Hebrews uses him as a type of Jesus.
Yes.
So what do we learn in that passage in Hebrews 7 about Melchizedek and this issue of tithing?
Okay. So Melchizedek is a type of Jesus, without father or mother, without genealogy, because we don't know anything about
him. He just showed up.
He just shows up. And always the lesser person honors the greater person, gives them what is their due. And what the writer of Hebrews is saying is that Jesus is even greater than Abraham, the father of Israel. He's greater than Abraham because, in effect, even Levi, the priestly line, paid tithe to Melchizedek, and the priest didn't have to pay tithe. But in this case, in this figure, even Levi paid tithe, the lesser to the greater, Jesus is greater.
Right, because Levi was in the bloodline of Abraham.
Correct.
So everybody out of that bloodline of Abraham is going to be inferior to this Melchizedek.
Correct.
Well, Melchizedek is representative of Jesus.
Yes.
So what the writer of Hebrews is saying, and this is his point and his point only.
Yeah, the whole book.
It is not to give, you know, you need to be tithing. His point in this particular story is that Jesus is superior to the Levites. His priesthood is superior to the priesthood of the Levites. Mm-hmm. So honor Jesus. Look to Jesus.
Yes.
Remember Jesus. His sacrifice was better than the sacrifices of the old. His you know, ways are better than the ways. Everything is better, superior when it comes to Jesus. And so that's why the writer of Hebrews uses this story. So how are we to give? And we mentioned a little bit of that yesterday, but it's called the grace of giving.
Yes.
That's what New Covenant giving is all about. And 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9 give us the attitudes behind this grace of giving. First, he says, give yourself to the Lord first.
Yes.
So we have to recognize that everything that we have comes from the hand of God.
Yes.
So we give ourselves first to the Lord, and that's what's most important. That's what Paul was saying in Romans 12. Mm-hmm. Offer yourselves as a living sacrifice. Well, we've been cleansed. We stand before God unblemished. We can offer ourselves freely.
Yes.
Confidently, we can draw near to the throne of grace. He says we're to excel in this grace of giving. As God's Spirit works inside of us, we're going to start excelling in the grace of giving. We're going to find that we give willingly. It's not grudgingly, but willingly. We give from what we have, not from what we don't have. We look at the gifts that God has given us, and we give out of that abundance.
Yes.
Whether that's small or large, you give out of what you have. You give expectantly, knowing that God is going to use this in a wonderful way, in such a way that is going to cause thanksgiving in the lives and hearts of those who have received the most superior gift, and that's the gift of salvation. Give enthusiastically. The Macedonians, man, they were eager to join in and be a part of God's work through giving. Do not give grudgingly, give generously, give cheerfully. That is the grace of giving, and that's what we're called to as New Covenant believers. And when you understand this, every time you write a check, I guarantee you, you'll have a smile on your face.
Absolutely.
And you will be worshiping
yes.
from the heart.
Absolutely. Well, all of these things we've talked about in this edition of Basic Gospel Today are talked about in this little booklet, Giving the New Covenant Way. I think it will clear up everything that you need to know about how to give, where to give, and the attitude of giving. So we encourage you to call right now, 844-412-2742. The booklet is free, and all you need to do is make the phone call, 844-412-2742. Well, thanks for being with us for this edition, everybody. Tomorrow, a study edition of Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher Richard Piper. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.